KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
The Wilderness Act of 1964, which protected over 9 million acres of land in the U.S., states that by definition, wilderness must have, quote, outstanding opportunities for solitude or a primitive and unconfined type of recreation. We are lucky to have with us today members of the grassroots organization Great Old Broads for Wilderness, an inspired moniker, if I do say so myself. The national organization is led by women who work towards preserving and protecting wilderness and wild lands. In the studio with us today is Lori Kerr, local chapter president, and members Barb Fox Kilgore and Kathleen Worley. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have you here. So let's first describe exactly what is the Great Old Broads for Wilderness. I know your local chapters are called Broad Bands. What is it about?
Well, it's a grassroots organization led by older women. Our focus is on advocacy, education, stewardship, and fun. We have 40 chapters around the country, and our local chapter is called the Cascade Volcanoes Chapter.
Okay.
In the Vancouver, Portland area.
Okay.
We lead and we attend educational activities and lectures. We attend national broadwalks around the country. We advocate for wild lands, and we have, and it's also a social group.
Oh, well, it sounds like it's an amazing group. Can you tell me a little bit, each one of you, how you came to be involved in this organization?
Sure. I've been a member for 10 years, and I read an article in one of the newspapers, and it gave an email address, and I just answered the email address and went to the first meeting.
Wonderful.
And I'm going on 2 years of being a member, and I got it through Facebook postings.
Ah, and Kathleen?
I can't actually remember when I first heard of the Great Old Broads for Wilderness, but it was quite some time ago, and I waited until I was considered myself a Great Old Broad before I joined. And when I joined, I said, I've been waiting for a long time to join your organization, and I got a note back saying, you really didn't have to wait. You don't have to be old to join us. Broadness is a state of mind.
Oh, lovely. I need that. Actually, I want to.
Broadness is a state of mind.
I'm going to tattoo that somewhere on my body. Broadness is a state of mind.
And so, we do have bros, by the way.
Oh, you do have bros. Okay,
yes,
that's
yes,
wonderful.
Yeah,
all right. So what sort of work do you do, and what sort of social activities do you have?
Well, our biggest event for our group is the camp out in September. Ooh. For the social group. But we also go to fundraisers, we go to educational activities, and we might stop for a beer afterward or beforehand.
And do you, and what sort of activities do you do as far as protecting wilderness and so forth?
Well, right now, we're working on breaching the dams on the Lower Snake to save the salmon and the orcas. We're also working on recovering wolves and grizzlies in the state of Washington.
Wonderful.
We also are doing a lot of work to oppose the LNG pipeline and terminal in Jordan Cove. And we're also working to reduce the impact of climate change.
One of the main reasons that you're here today is to talk to us a little bit about this project with the Forest Service that you have going on, where you are monitoring solitude in the wilderness. Can you explain what that entails?
Sure. The Forest Service, as you said at the beginning, that one of the precepts of the Wilderness Act is that you have to have the possibility of experiencing solitude. The Forest Service, as they're managing the wilderness, needs to get a sense of how that area is being used and where it is still possible for people to have the experience of solitude. Then the Forest Service, I think it's really important to say, really doesn't have enough budget. Most of their funds go to firefighting, and there's been some adjustment in that, but they really don't. They really rely on volunteers to collect data they need for planning how they're going to manage areas that they have purview over. So we volunteer to go out and we hike a trail, and we just sort of keep track of how many people we see, what time we see them, whether they're overnight hikers or day hikers, whether they have stock with them, whether they have dogs. We try to see if they have a permit, whether they're actually in the wilderness area or before the trail reaches the wilderness. And you can talk to them a little bit and chat so that you can give the Forest Service information about what's going on in their areas. And you can have the experience of, so before the gorge burned, one group of us on the same day was monitoring in two places. A friend and I were monitoring up on the Bell Creek Trail on Larch Mountain. We monitored our four-hour block of monitoring and saw no one. Two people were down at Wachlella Falls, and in their four-hour block, they saw 500 people.
So is solitude measured by the number of actual humans you see, or do things like hearing a plane above you count, or being able to hear traffic count?
They do ask you to, at least in the gorge, they asked us to listen for drone traffic. The Forest Service really can't stop a plane from flying over, so it is mostly encounters of people on the trail.
So why is monitoring solitude so important? Of course, it's part of the Wilderness Act that we just mentioned, but why is it important for people to have that experience?
Boy, if you have no place to get away and be quiet and look at what the rest of the world is really doing and how it functions without our interference, I think it's really hard to get a sense of your place in the universe.
You don't know what you're missing.
Well, that too.
Yeah, you know, that's if
I think it's an opportunity to have a pristine connection with Mother Nature.
Lovely. So this information that you're collecting, first of all, how long is your study going on, and what is the Forest Service intending to do with this information?
Well, we have completed all 15 sessions through October. Now we're in the process of inputting the data, and the Forest Service will take a look at the data, and they have measurements, they have goals for solitude, and they will develop a graph with an aim line and say they're under, they're over, or they're right on target. And then they can manage those trails to either reduce the impact or increase the impact of the solitude.
And who was responsible for our grant?
We would like to thank the National Wilderness Stewardship Alliance for funding our grant. The grant included mileage reimbursement, meals, t-shirts, and camping. And we are totally indebted to them. And we've also been funded last season, too, from the same organization.
Wonderful. Do you anticipate that this will be something ongoing in future years?
If the funding remains stable, I would like to continue to apply for these grants, yes.
No, this wasn't a question that we supplied you with earlier, but I'm kind of curious about it. What are some local places closer to Portland that you can actually experience solitude? Are there many? Are there any left?
Well, I was just today in the Trapper Creek Wilderness in Washington and hiking with three friends, and we saw no one.
Wonderful.
Of course, it was raining, but still.
If you can get out in the winter and not on a busy summer weekend, yes, your chances of experiencing solitude are much greater. Barb, correct?
Lori,
I'm sorry. I got you mixed up. Lori, you mentioned this a little bit earlier, but I understand that your chapter also rallied in Olympia, Washington, in favor of removing the dams on the Lower Snake River that you mentioned. Do you feel the same about the recent push by the Yakima and Lummi Nations to remove the dams on the Columbia?
Personally, I don't. And the reason is because the dams on the Columbia generate a lot more electricity than the dams on the Lower Snake. The Lower Snake dams only generate 4% of the needed energy, and most of it goes to California.
So the return on investment isn't as great as far as helping people.
That's right.
Concerned. Okay. Is that a stance that your organization takes, or is that just your personal feeling?
That's just my personal feeling.
Well, we want to make sure that is said, so that, yes, you know, that is your personal feeling.
Yes.
Whether or not it's the organization's stance is something completely different. So let's talk a little bit about the future. What sort of projects will you be taking on after this is complete, since this is complete now, this particular project?
Well, we're looking into the Mark Hatfield Wilderness Area, and we have the ranger coming to meet with us in January.
That's up near Mount Hood, correct? There's a long trail system.
And in the gorge.
And in the gorge. Okay, I've hiked a little bit of that, and I heard about this work that's being done. Explain a little bit what it is talking about.
You mean the solitude?
What is it? Well, no, is it part of the solitude project or is it something?
We haven't got that set in stone. Oh, I'm okay. Still in the planning stages.
One thing in terms of the Mount Hood Wilderness is that that Senator Ron Wyden is asking people to sort of nominate wild and scenic rivers that might be designated for wild and scenic rivers. And there has for a long time been an ongoing effort to put there are places that were left out of the Mount Hood Wilderness when that wilderness was created, and it's sort of called the unfinished business to try to get places that deserve protection and have wilderness characteristics to be protected. That's the sort of highest degree of protection of land you can get is a wilderness designation, and there are lower designations that you can kind of look at for areas that no longer qualify as wilderness, but that's a big push also in terms of the Mount Hood Wilderness.
So we will be collecting signatures and going to businesses and trying to engage their support for increasing the wilderness in the Mount Hood area, and also writing letters in the newspapers.
So let's talk a little bit about getting people involved. If someone hears this and considers themselves a great old broad or a great old bro, how do they get involved?
They can contact us. We have a website, greatoldbroads.org, and you can join right up. You can find my name, and our Cascade Volcanoes chapter is right on there. They can send me an email, and I'll give them a call and set up a date to have coffee with them. We'd love to have their participation.
And they can be as active or as involved as they have time to be and ability.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Is there anything else that folks should know about the work that you are doing that we haven't covered? Kathleen, it seemed like you had something you were eager to say. That's why I don't remember. I'm sorry about that.
I know the solitude monitoring has been very gratifying volunteer work because it's hiking with a purpose, you know, and helping out the Forest Service. And for me, it's trying to gather the data that monitors the impact that the public is having on some of these areas of wilderness areas, yeah, and trying to monitoring it so that it can maybe be taken care of, you know, that mm-hmm. we don't have overuse and keeping it a wilderness area and preserving it the best we can.
Yeah, and for the Forest Service to know where they really have to put their focus to make sure that it doesn't get loved to death.
Thank you very much. We have been speaking with Lori Kerr, Barb Fox Kilgore, and Kathleen Worley of the organization Great Old Broads for Wilderness, and they've been working with the Forest Service on a solitude monitoring project. Thank you so much for your work on that. You can find out more on their website, greatoldbroads.org. That's .org. I'm Michelle Coppola for KBOO News in Depth.
Thank you.